I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio. Well, we were talking just, you heard Callie Crossley talking to Art Kaplan about the medical, ethical issues. At what point does the mayor or the mayor's office have some obligation to tell the citizens of Boston what's going on? And we're going to be extending that conversation and talk to Michael Goldman, who's a Democratic strategist, about whether the way they've been handling it has been effective. I mean, what do you think, Michael? In some ways, it has been. I mean, they've had a couple of press conferences by doctors. The doctors have said the mayor is perfectly capable of making decisions. His staff has said, he's handling all the paperwork. I don't know about you, but we've been getting press releases from the mayor's office. Today, Mayor Tom Menino declared this or said that. It feels fake. It feels unreal.
Well, a lot of the time, to do the macro first, a lot of the time whenever a public official is out of the city, the job of the press office is to keep that stuff coming because you want to let him know that even when he's away, the administration's on the job. I remember that, and you probably do too, that during the Great Blizzard, Kevin White was caught out of city and, his press people were running around trying to pretend like he was in town. It's part of your job on that part. I think that Doug Joyce and the people at the mayor's office have always done a very good job for him. I think that if you take a look at the ultimate answer to the question about how Menino was doing, you do it with favorable, unfavorable. And what you see is an extraordinarily high favorable, an extraordinarily low unfavorable. What's amazing and has been to me is you have an administration that's never had a major failure. They never had a scandal. They've never had a huge issue. A bridge didn't collapse. A school didn't go down. I mean, it really is an unprecedented string of good fortune. The best people in the world get stuck with something that's going to muck them up. And to that regard, Tom Menino has, from the time he became the mayor, really had an extraordinary string of success that has led to his situation now, mm-hmm. which is what we're here to talk about, which is, what is the obligation, number one, and what is the right decision? Well, you said it perfectly before. Clearly, people don't feel uncomfortable about this yet. How do we know that? You don't see a lot of buzz on the ground about a lot of people thinking about running, which, maybe below the surface you have some people. But no one is taking sort of the quantum leap of saying, oh, my God, Tom Menino is in such serious trouble that he's gotta get rid of him. And so to that regard, I guess the answer to the question is, so far so good. The old story about the guy who jumps out of the window and as he goes by each floor, he says, so far so good, so far so good.
Yeah, it's interesting too, though, that no one will criticize him. And we called every single Boston city councilor yesterday, tried to get to them, come on the show. No one is willing to say a thing. No one is going to say, the mayor needs to concede power, hand it over to the city council president. No one has suggested that.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, anyone who knows Tom Menino knows that he has a long memory. And that's not a bad thing in a political person. Let me tell you, I wish more of my clients had a longer memory sometimes. And I don't think anyone really believes yet, Emily, that the mayor is leaving. I don't think that despite these illnesses, and, I read this morning knowing I was coming on, sort of took a look. Listen, I got type 2 diabetes. I had a heart issue a few months ago. I was in for a couple of days. I mean, you reach your 60s, which is what we are, mm-hmm. and these things fall apart. The real question is there a reason to believe that he is in a situation where he might say it's time to go? And I don't know anyone yet who believes that, and that's why you're getting the answers you're
getting. No, I agree with that. However, is it time to concede right now while he's in Spalding rehab? He was in the hospital for, 4 weeks and 4 days. Should he say, while I'm focusing on my health, somebody else is in charge, which is different than saying I'm not going forward and announcing my candidacy for the sixth term?
Yeah, I would say this. I would say that this administration has, unlike many administrations, where staff actually are the most important pieces and the mayor isn't important. I think in this case, quite frankly, anyone who knows anything about Boston knows that the decisions come from the top down. But I do think he has a very good group of people there.
Who are they?
Well,
other than Doug Joyce, who else is around
him? Well, Mike Kenevey is one of the key people, and that's the one I know because he's much more in the political end than the substance end. But you don't see, he's got agency people in a variety of places. And the fact that you don't see him in the paper means you're doing a pretty damn good job. And I don't, at this point in time, and again, I'll go back to my own experience back in the 70s working for the first Dukakis administration in the old MDC. The governor, while we worked for him, really had nothing to do with the day-to-day operation of our little piece of ground. You had, Rick Davey was in earlier talking, and his department, while under the governor, governor really doesn't – it doesn't matter if the governor is running around the country. And that's the example I'd use to. We've just had a governor who has done the right thing for his party and for himself by campaigning hard. Did any of state government fall apart because he wasn't there on a day-to-day basis?
No, he was criticized for it. I mean, even today in the Boston Globe, he had Brian McGorry really taking a whack at him over the compounding lab thing, over the drug scandal.
But at the time, nobody felt I saw that too, but nobody felt at the moment that, oh my God, the governor is in Ohio campaigning for the president. Who's running the shop?
Yeah, that's true.
And the same thing is here.
But there's something here that's kind of fake is what I'm getting at.
I understand.
He's sending out press releases under his name. It's like he's not... Number one, he's not writing them. Not that he ever did, but it's like, no, yeah, you know, you're trying to figure out how to, you know, walk up and down a hallway without getting, you know, twisting your back at it. It's like, you know.
Well, again, I would argue from the public relations, public affairs, public information standpoint. I mean, whenever you get those things, the mayor virtually is never directly, and you know, we want to thank Emily Rooney for opening up her shop. I mean, it's the mayor doesn't care about that stuff. The real question is there any reason to believe yet that given what we've heard about his illnesses, that he is not capable of dealing with a crisis?
There's nothing we've heard.
Exactly. And so ultimately, in the end, as the mayor, the thing that makes him so interesting and so different than people you and I have known over the, you know, and I think both of us are old enough to remember Collins, certainly the end of the Collins age, and then, of course, Kevin White, and then Flynn, and then Menino. You know, this guy's footprint is so different than anyone else's. The shocking statistic I heard, I have yet to find a single other person who, in polling, who's ever done this. Over 50% of the people in the city say they have personally...
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about 50%. If you got 50% favorable, you're thrilled.
And that's, so there's 625,000 people in the city of Boston. 300,000 or more have met him.
Can you... I mean, it's almost an incomprehensible number. And in that regard, I think that that's what makes this interesting is for the first time in his political career, Menino isn't able to spend 16 hours a day doing the thousands of little things he's done to build this up.
Let me ask you this, Michael. Has the media scrutinized this enough? Because really, we've been lapdogs. I mean, I'm putting myself in that category because actually I called Dot Joyce 2 days ago and asked her if I could see him, with or without a camera. She handled it deftly and beautifully. Well, he would really like to do some interviews. He'd like to talk to some people. Keep calling, you know, that could happen. Of course, she didn't just say yes or no. But that at that moment, she told me he was being transferred to Spalding Rehab. That was early in the morning, much earlier than they actually transferred. We probably should have gotten a camera over there, see if we could get the shot of him being put on the gurney. But, you know, we didn't. And it's like, there's a respectful thing
right
here, too.
And there should be. And I would say that the media can beat itself up and say, oh, my God, what would she do? But I think there's a part of this that's interesting. As you know, my wife, Susan, has had an illness that she was in a number of times in Spalding Rehab. And basically what you do there is you learn to manage pain and you learn to adapt to whatever disability or illness you have. And I'm not sure I would have been thrilled if somebody had come with a camera to take a picture.
No, I'm sure you wouldn't. This is the mayor, though.
You know, and I understand that. But I really believe, and I have not talked to Dot Joyce, who, to be fair, was a student of mine many years ago
at
Emerson.
Right?
Yeah,
that's great.
So you know, I like her a great deal. And I think she's
great
terrific.
Protector of the mayor
and doing her job, doing the job that she has to do. I think if they thought after 2 weeks there that the mayor was in the kind of physical condition that would allow him to have an interview, they would do it. But, you know, we don't know how much weight he's lost, for example. And maybe that's
maybe
what
none.
You know, maybe none. Or maybe he's with the new
diet.
But
these are the kinds of questions we all want to know.
Well, I don't, you know.
I mean, weight loss is key because, you know.
See, I would just, what I really would, the thing that would be interesting to me is if he was seriously thinking that he could no longer do the job. I have yet to find a single person who can imagine that he wouldn't be. And that's the, to me, that's really.
But how would we know if we haven't seen him, if we haven't heard of him? That's the thing. It's all being kept under lock and key, so we don't know.
Well, I would say if you've seen, if you remember Bill Clinton in 1992, when you look at Bill Clinton today, he's gone compared to the way he was because he's gone on that new diet, you know? And, you know, I think he looked better when he was.
Me too.
You know? So the question of whether Menino, we'd look at Menino and say, oh my God, look at how thin he's got. That means there must be something serious. Those two things don't necessarily correlate. And, you know, if I were his press person, I would want him to look as well as he could look. And if that's 2 weeks into the, or 3 weeks into Spalding, then, you know, the people can wait. And maybe you know more than I do.
No, I don't.
I have not heard of anything. I have heard of nothing that they've talked about. About his illnesses.
That's because they've been so...
Well, but they did have those medical, you know, reviews, and they put out there about the type 2 diabetes, and they talked about his back problems and the pain issues and the...
Yeah, it's not very specific.
Well, you know, the Callie interviewed that the person
Art
talking
Kaplan,
about the you know Art Kaplan and you know HIPAA is very
that's
clear
true.
And you know you don't
that's the Hippocratic Oath.
Well, the HIPAA is
HIPAA
is laws, federal, the
yeah,
laws.
The laws.
The HIPAA laws. And you know you could be as he pointed out to those people. This is serious stuff. And you know there is a part of this that you know in our the age of texting and computer and where there's a gotcha piece of this that you know.
Or do you think somebody's going to tweet out of Spalding? Because that's the next thing that's going to come.
You know, could be, or it could be. I saw the mayor and he was walking and he looked great. Or you know, the question that you asked though is everybody doing their job? And I don't see at a point at which the newspapers and you here have not done your job. I mean, you know where he is. You know basically what the doctors are saying. You know he's being treated. No one's hiding him. I before I came over here, I wanted to check the story out because there was a book I read 2 years ago and sort of fluffed through and about Grover Cleveland having cancer. And they operated on a boat on the Potomac where he was for 3 weeks and no one knew he was missing. I mean,
it's a little different.
On his jaw. I mean, it's not even, you know, you read it and you say, this couldn't possibly have happened. So, you know, we're not in that situation as where is the mayor hiding out? Why isn't he being seen? We know he's got issues and he's dealing with them. What's fascinating is what you said earlier. There was nobody that you talked to that was willing to take a shot at him, and I think
nobody.
And I think that answers your question because if you were thinking about running, you might want to drive the story yourself. You know, you want to say that we need the energy to drive the city, etc. Every one of these people who are thinking of running are saying maybe Menino will be with me. I'm not going to do anything to make sure if he doesn't run that he can't be with me, that he's mad at me. And this is you know, quite frankly, again, the smart political thing to do is to. You know,
yeah, I have to agree with you, Michael. I think it's all been rather brilliant. I mean, I'm on that side, too. I mean, it's annoying, but it's brilliant.
It is annoying and it is brilliant.
All right. We've been talking about how Mayor Menino's health has been kind of, you know, controlled. The information has been controlled. And his office of his communications office has really kept it under a tight wrap. So, Michael Goldman, Democratic strategist and senior consultant for Government Inside Group. Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
And Callie Crossley is back.
Emily, do you have a favorite Alfred Hitchcock film?
I do.
Which one?
It's got to be The Birds.
I can't watch that.
Love it.
Rear Window for me.
Yeah.
Well, there's a new biopic starring Anthony Hopkins and Helen Mirren, and it's in theaters now. Hitchcock's first big hit was back in 1927. Why do his films still endure? Film critic Garen Daly joins us to talk about The Master of Suspense.
All right, I'm Emily Rooney.
I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.